It's great to be back with you again today. This week, I want to talk with you about the self-existence of God. But what do I mean by self-existence? That term seems like it might be a little complex. And while it may seem that way, it really is not difficult to understand, especially if you apply logic. So to begin with, let's make sure we understand the term existence. I'll define it in just one word: living. Existence is living. We could say that existence is having an objective reality. If I look over there on the ground and see a spider, then I can accurately say that spider exists. It has existence. That spider lives. That creepy, crawly spider is alive. Or someone in the next car over, as you drive down this expressway or road, can look over at you behind the wheel and accurately say, that driver exists. He or she has existence. The driver lives. The person is alive. If you did not exist, if you were not alive, then your car cannot drive in a straight trajectory, keeping between the white lines. Likewise, when we talk about God's self-existence, then we mean God exists. God lives. God is alive. And as we continue to apply our logic, perhaps the best way to do this is to contrast God's existence with our existence. To contrast is to highlight differences. So there is a difference between God's existence and our existence. That's where this little word self comes into play. Remember, I am telling you that God is self-existent. God has the ground of his existence within himself. Last time I told you that nothing and no one created God so that God can exist. No being created God or caused God to exist. God is uncaused. God has no cause. God just exists. God is. But we have the ground of our existence outside of ourselves. We have a cause. God caused us to exist. Without God putting us into existence, we would not exist. God is the life giver, and God is also the one who takes life here away. God is uncaused, but we are caused. God has no cause, but we have a cause, and our cause is the living God. Are you with me? Do you understand? Did you say no? Is this a little too philosophical for you today? Were you hoping for something lighter? Okay, then let me try this contrast another way. God is independent, but we are dependent. I'll say that again and then describe what I mean. God is independent, but we are dependent. God is independent in himself. That means that God is totally and completely free. He is free from outside control. God cannot be in any way controlled by another, and God never has and never will depend on another for livelihood and subsistence. God is absolutely free from any other authority. No one can tell God what to do or who to be. Now let's contrast this with people. We are dependent. Our existence is contingent upon God. We are not totally and completely free. We are not. We are not free from outside control. We are controlled by God, and we are often controlled by others. We always have, and we always will be, dependent on another for livelihood and subsistence. We are all under the authority, and that authority is not ourselves. We are all under the authority of God. We are told what to do and who to be, and God is the one who tells us what to do and who he wants us to be. And we are also under the authority of humans in this life who tell us what to do and who to be. For example, we're under the authority of our parents when we lived at home, the government, the police, and our employer at work. But God is never under the authority of any of these. God is the authority over all of these. God is the authority over our parents, our government, the police. God is the authority over our employer. Because all of these are under God's ultimate authority. You see, God is not only independent in himself, but God causes everything and everyone to depend on him. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Just breathe in and out deeply. Did you know that breath, that one breath, you and I are dependent on God for it? If we reach for that breath and it is not there, then it is because God has taken it away. And when we cannot breathe for even a short period of time, then we are dead. God is the breath of life. All that is created by God is dependent on God. And when God decides that we will no longer exist, then we will no longer exist. When God decides that we should leave this life on earth, then we will leave this life on earth. And nothing and no one can stop God. When it is our time to die, we die, period. And this happens because we are dependent on the living God. Now, the reality is we do not like this. It's human nature to imagine ourselves as also being independent. We do not enjoy having to depend on anyone or anything, especially God. This matter of independence forms the crux of the battle between us and God. We fight God in a war of independence. That's the nature of our sin. That's the nature of our pride. People want to be independent of God, not dependent on God. People want to be independent of God, not dependent on God. But try as we might to distance ourselves from the one who sustains our existence, we cannot. It's impossible. Your effort to be independent from God is futile. Give up. Raise the white flag of surrender. It's over. You are dependent on God. I am dependent on God. This is the truth. This is our reality. And this is certainly what the Bible, God's very word to us, teaches repeatedly. Listen, for example, to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. This is from the ESV translation. Proverbs 19 and verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We can make our plans, but in the end, the will of God is what happens. We are subject to God's sovereign plans. The Bible is not saying don't plan. It is saying do not be surprised if or when God changes your plans. And anyone who has lived very long knows this is completely true. Even people who do not acknowledge the kingship of God know from experience that their plans often get thwarted. Let me take us back to my main point. God is independent, but we are dependent. Now, do we understand more of what I mean by saying that God is self-existent? God has existence within himself, but we have existence only from outside of ourselves. To make certain that you're with me and to be constantly rooted and grounded in the Bible, let me read from a few passages in the time we have remaining that show you different aspects to the self-existence of God. We can also think of these as the implications of God's self-existence or the practical ramifications of serving the self-existent God. And I'll tell you now that I have to continue this next time. First, God is independent in his thinking. God's thoughts are just that, God's thoughts. He does not get his thinking from anyone or anything else. He's not dependent for his thinking. It's not like a person has a thought and God thinks to himself, I like what that person is thinking, and so I'll steal that one for myself. Thank you, creature, for that idea. Absolutely not. God doesn't need any source outside of himself for his thoughts. He thinks with perfection within himself. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome. This is Romans chapter 11 and verses 33 to 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Verse 34 is actually a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 13. And these verses form a benediction of Paul's at the end of chapters 9 through 11, which deal with the future of God's people, the Israelites. The Apostle Paul is giving thanks and praise to God, and he focuses on the attribute of God that is God's independence. God in self-existent thought. Notice in verse 34, this phrase, the mind of the Lord. The mind is where thinking happens. These verses are about God's thoughts, and Paul asks, who became God's counselor? In other words, do we actually believe that God needs us so that he can think for himself? Of course not. God's thoughts are independent of our thoughts. And God's thinking is pure wisdom and perfect knowledge. We cannot search his ways. We find God unfathomable. God's incapable of being fully understood. That's how independent his thinking is. And this creates a real problem for us. You see, we think of ourselves as being independent from God, so we have our thoughts, our way of thinking, and we're working something out in our minds. We do not need God for this. But then we run into obstacles. We are denied that which we think we deserve. Our plans do not come to fruition. It seems like for no reason. Or we wind up frustrated, defeated, broken. God's messing up our supposedly independent lives. God's reminding us that we are dependent on him. We are not independent. There is a great difference between God and us. As we come to an end, I'll remind you that I'm talking about some implications of God's self-existence or the practical ramifications of serving the self-existent God. And first, I am saying that God is independent in his thinking. And we will continue with these implications, and I'll share more scripture with you tomorrow. Now, we learned a lot today, so if you'd like to listen again, just go to 590amtheword.com and download the podcast. That's 590amtheword.com. At the top of the page, you'll see more, and then you can click podcasts, and God Is will be waiting for you. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is self-existent.